I'm so thankful we get to trust in Jesus, aren't you? Thankful to be with you tonight, and thankful for the opportunity, privilege and opportunity to be with you and speak from the Word of God, and appreciate the opportunity. I know you're blessed with the pastor that you have, and thank God for him. My family thinks the world of him, and we just love him and respect him, have really just been mentored by him throughout the years, and just really thankful for his influence in my life personally. And you are a blessed people to have him as your pastor. And I know you know that and don't need to be reminded of that, but it's good to hear from other places and other voices at times, even from a guy from New Jersey, of all things. Never dreamed I'd be in New Jersey, but God has got us on the mission field in New Jersey. And thank the Lord for what he's done. And in January, we have been there for 10 years, and I've been serving the Lord as assistant pastor for 20, and I just grew up in ministry, parents in ministry, and just thank God for the heritage and a good and godly heritage. I'm thankful for it. But you know what? That's not what matters the most. What matters most is Jesus and being able to trust in him. And we look tonight at Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, if you look there with me as well, we see that there is a word in verse 1. It says, consider. Consider. Back in 2007, a film came out called The Ten Commandments, and they did a research before this. They used a company to research, to survey 1,000 people, and to discover how many Americans actually knew the Ten Commandments. The survey included questions that had no importance or anything pertaining to the Ten Commandments, such questions as Big Mac, McDonald's, what does it consist of, how many patties? 80% of those surveyed knew that McDonald's had two all-beef patties. 62% knew that it had pickles. 34% knew that only maybe one of the Ten Commandments could be remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now keep in mind, 80% knew how many beef patties were in the McDonald's Big Mac. Less than 30% knew that one of the commandments was to not make graven images. They came very quickly to this conclusion that Americans knew more about fast food than they did the Ten Commandments. You know, we can know so many things about so much, can't we? I want to ask you this question tonight. How often do you think on Jesus? How often do you think on Jesus and considering Jesus? Psalm 77 says in verse 11 and 12, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I don't know about you, but don't we get so many voices from so many different places? Billboards, ads. How many of you have ever been talking about something and all of a sudden it shows up on your phone, shows up on your computer? It's scary, isn't it? And it's something else to see that all of a sudden just comes into your ads. But noise and distractions from all types of different places, what are they looking for? We'll say this, they're looking for real estate in our minds. They're looking for the space that we give them. And they will earn the space by what space we give them. Every item, every person, even places will take up just the amount of space that we provide to them. They're looking for real estate in our minds. I found this to be true, that even good things can take us away from the best things. And someone or something will always be calling for our attention and for us to think on them. No wonder Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Philippians 2 talks a lot about the mind. The mind. What about 2 Corinthians 10:5? It says, bring into captivity every thought, casting down the imaginations and everything that exalteth itself. But I want you to notice this word that God uses in his word, the word consider. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Consider. Hebrews 12, if you turn over there with me to Hebrews 12, verse 3, you'll find another place where it uses this word consider. Hebrews 12, 3, the word consider. Something very much worthy of our consideration. I want to share with you what this word consider means. It might not be what you think it is. Verse 3, it says, Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Who are we talking about? We're talking about God. We're talking about Christ. But to consider is not just to consider something as it passes by, and I'm just going to consider that, and I'll just kind of give it a quick glance or give it a little thought, or maybe it'll just pop in my mind, and then I'll let it pop out, and you know, in one ear, out the other. That's not the case. To consider means to think carefully on, to dwell on, to actually put your mind down upon it, so much so that you're going to see more details about what you're thinking about what you're really pondering, dwelling on, meditating on, and you're going to apprehend more facts about it. You know this? There's more facts about Jesus that you know just today. You can learn more about Jesus tomorrow. You can learn more about Jesus later on this evening. And it's true observation happening on your own. We're to consider Jesus Christ carefully and closely, with not hesitation or quickness. The difference is the drawbridge going up and having to wait there for the drawbridge, or having to take a right on Center Street and waiting for the train that seems to never end. Extremely long trains, but taking one to make that right. It's to dwell on, to take time, to stop, to think, to wait. It's not a yield. It's not just to consider it and keep on going and pass by. No, this is to really think on Jesus, to become a way of life. I want that. I'm sure you want that. And, you know, every day we can find time in our day to think on Jesus. I want to ask you, have you thought on Jesus? Say, yeah, I'm at church. I was here this morning. Praise the Lord for that. I know you're here tonight. But let this not be the only time that we think on Jesus. May we continue this thought and this pattern of our thoughts to think on Jesus. I'm reminded of Psalm 34:3. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Oh, magnify. You think of a magnifying glass, it's going to show some details. It's going to make it look bigger, maybe, but the item is not getting bigger. It just looks bigger. We have a great big God tonight, church, and we can look and magnify him together, and let us exalt his name together. And just as that magnifying glass, you'll see more details. I hope that that'll be the case this evening. How do you and I go about thinking on Jesus? First of all, our prayer life. Our prayer life reveals whether we are thinking on Jesus or not, a lack of or an emphasis on. And we would do well to get back to the sweet hours of prayer. And I don't just mean in reference to the song, but you know what happens? Minutes turn into hours. And so what we need to do is to have our hours come by the minutes that we spend with God. I hope you have a time with God. I hope you have a special place. I hope you talk with him and you hear from him, from his word, and I hope you spend time with him. Have you just stopped? Have you just put everything else aside? Has there been time given to just think on Jesus? I have to ask myself, when's the last time I thought on Jesus? Just Jesus, nothing else. All kinds of thoughts come into your mind as soon as you start to try to think on Jesus. It's amazing who doesn't want you to think on Jesus. Guarantee the devil doesn't want you to think on Jesus. Guarantee there's all kinds of good things that become distractions for us not to think on Jesus. Because God wants to be in our mind, and the devil has no desire for any of that to take place. I was encouraged the other day. My son, we call it the back 40. And he was mowing, and it takes about 2.5 to 3 hours. If you can imagine with me, it's about 3 to 4 soccer fields, about an amount of that grass in New Jersey. And as he got off the mower, and he came to me and he said, "Dad, I spent the time on the mower praying." And I was blessed by that, because I thought he could have listened to anything on the podcast and the music, and he could have done anything on the mower, just mowed and not thought of anything else. But I'm thankful that he's developing habits in his life that are good and godly habits that are minutes turning into hours, and to pray and to develop that in his own life. Job said it this way, "Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee." The psalmist said in Psalm 55, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Consider Christ and think on Jesus as you pray. Think on him. Psalm 4 says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe. Sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I want to ask you, when's the last time you and I stopped? I mean, just everything. And just were still to think on God. To do this, I believe there's some very practical ways, and I believe there's some things that God wants to show us tonight, I believe, from this passage of Scripture. Would you turn back with me to Hebrews 3? Hebrews 3 and in verse 1, we'll see some things that God has laid out for us in the Word of God to take with us. By the way, Christ is worthy of considering. There's over 256 different names of God throughout the Bible. God's trying to get our attention and to say this, that he's the name above every name. Billy Sunday put it this way, that he believed there were many different names given for God because God's name is infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. Name of all names, Jesus. By the way, at that name, every knee shall bow, right? Every tongue shall confess. And things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Considering Christ. So how do we do this? Hebrews 3, verse 1 says, consider the apostle. Yes, this is talking about Jesus, but I don't think this is a normal way that we think on Jesus, is it? I don't know, when's the last time maybe you thought, well, Jesus as an apostle. But the apostle is critical. But before we get into the apostle, would you notice that it says in verse 2, it says, apostle, high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. You know, Christ Jesus was faithful. I'm so glad for his faithfulness. And he was more faithful than even Moses. And he uses this example of Moses, as Moses was faithful in all his house, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. This man who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is greater than Moses. Next to Abraham, Moses was undoubtedly the man most greatly revered by the Jewish people. This is why it's so critical that this is given to them and given to us, and not just them, but so that we have our mind on Christ and Christ thinking about him as an apostle. An apostle. You've seen, as well as I have, the distractions. The basketball game. The noodles waving to try to take away from the free throw shot being made. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get into the mind of the guy shooting the free throws. You've seen the taunts. And I remember the first time I got up to bat playing baseball as a young man. And hey, batter, batter, batter. Hey, batter, batter. And boy, I just thought, this is trying to get me distracted. And you know what? The devil doesn't want anything to do with God and God in our mind. He doesn't want us to consider him as an apostle. Why? Is it so critical that he does not want us to consider him as an apostle? Because Jesus wants to be in our thoughts and our mind and our head. But the apostle means one sent with a commission. Moses was called and sent by God, but Jesus was sent from God. In John 3, verse 17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. John 7 says, cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, he said this, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. The apostle means one sent with a commission. And he was sent for you and I. Aren't you thankful for that? He was sent. Jesus, if Jesus never came, there'd be no hope, there'd be no heaven, there'd be no relationship with God. Think about it. Where would you and I be without Jesus? I've said this to myself. I've thought of this. I thought, I'm sure glad I have Jesus. I don't know what I would do without Jesus. And to look at people that are lost in this world, that go through struggle and trial and challenge and burdens, what a great message this morning from Pastor. And the thing of it is to think that they're missing out on Jesus. And they don't even realize what they're missing out on. And as a Christian, I would do well to think on Jesus as an apostle, because this means that he came for the remission of my sins and he was sent with a mission, and he fulfilled his mission. He says, it is finished on the cross, because he fulfilled the mission. Think about how he saved you. how he bought you with that precious blood, how he redeemed you, how he loves you with an everlasting love, how he died for you, how he stays with you, how he cares for you, how he provides for you, how he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the originator and the perfecter of it, and he's faithful to finish what he started. I'm so thankful that he's Alpha and Omega. We live in a world where there's not as much supply as there is demand. Have you tried to start a project, tried to finish that project, and you're waiting on an item? My son recently inherited a 85 Chevy Scottsdale, and we're going to go back home, and we're going to do our best to restore it, but I've already warned him we're going to have a lot of waiting. There's going to be a lot of waiting on parts. There's going to be a lot of waiting on things that we're thinking are going to come in quickly. It won't come in as quickly as we want them to come in. I'm so thankful that with God, he says this, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we're to be confident of this. We're to be confident of this very thing. And Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, we're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of that faith. So above all others, let's think of them as an apostle. Would you notice with me, if we're going to think on Jesus, just some practical ways, just some ways that we can think on him. Think on him as the high priest. So first of all, consider the apostle, Jesus Christ, sent with a commission, fulfilled it, redeemer of our sins and the remission of those sins, and redeemer through his blood, and so thankful that he came and that he died and that he was buried and he rose again, the gospel. But the high priest of our profession, what does this mean? Well, in Hebrews 4, it goes a little deeper in verse 14. Would you turn there with me? In Hebrews 4, it talks about this great high priest, and this is critical. Because as an apostle, Jesus represented God to men. But as a high priest, now Jesus represents men to God. That's the difference. And Jesus is the high priest. He's the one God anointed to represent human beings to himself. Notice verse 14, it says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So see then we have a great high priest. Notice verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, this is important for the Jewish people to know that Jesus is the high priest. And by the way, all the characteristics of the high priest were found in Jesus. All the functions, every ritual, everything was performed and fulfilled by him. And the reason we see in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, is so that, verse 16, we can come boldly. Let us then do that. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, Christ is the great high priest, and it's different about the great high priest because of John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. The law by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus. You know, truth hates sin. You know, sin hates truth as well. Grace loves sinners, and sinners love our love through grace. John 1:14 says Jesus is full of those, full of grace and truth. One man said it this way, truth without grace is not really truth at all. Grace without truth is not really grace. The idea is this, without the truth, Jesus Christ, there is no way to God's grace. So let us therefore then come boldly to the throne of grace. He's a great high priest. He's the apostle. And above all others, as an apostle sent from God for us, but above all others, as a high priest. I don't know about you, when's the last time you just stopped thinking on Jesus, and you just stopped just to think on Jesus? You think of him as an apostle? I didn't think of him as an apostle until I was looking at this, until I was reading through this passage of Scripture, and God spoke to my heart and had to do some dealings in my own heart. God, I'm thankful that you're the apostle, that you were sent, and you fulfilled that mission, and Lord, help me to fulfill my mission and to finish my course and to fight the good fight of faith Help me not to quit, and help me not to give up, and help me to stay true to the task. Thank you that you were faithful and that you showed the example as an apostle. Now I'm starting to think on Jesus a little bit. A little bit more I think on Jesus, not just as an apostle, but as a high priest. I don't often think of the high priest. I'm not going into the temple like they did that day. I'm going to the house of God like today, and I was blessed by this morning. Pray you're blessed by tonight. But last time he thought of him as a high priest, well, he's a great high priest, and you're able to come boldly to that throne of grace as a direct result of it. And one more step, thinking of Jesus, I'm just giving you a couple ways to think on Jesus. I don't know how you think on Jesus, but that magnifying glass, you start to get that magnifying glass out on Jesus, you're going to see some more details. And he's as big and as great as he's always been and always will be, but I'm encouraging you to magnify and let's exalt his name together. And so let's look to Jesus and consider him and think on him. Some ways to do that, the apostle, the high priest. And then back with me to Hebrews, if you would, Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Lastly tonight, I say third way to think on Jesus, not as only apostle, as a high priest, but as a master builder. I love to be a part of something that's happening. I remember the days when we visited Florida and it was on Center Street. And I wasn't a part of seeing the construction, but I'm a part of seeing what's taking place here. And I full well know that there's got to be some people that have invested and poured time and sweat and tears and blood into this place for this place to look like it does. And to be a part of something like that and to be a part of something that's built, something new, you know, that fresh new smell, right? Doesn't last very long, does it? But the thing of it is, in Hebrews 3, this is talking about God building and as a master builder. And there's a difference when you see Moses and you look at Moses as a servant and you see Christ as a son over his own house and says, whose house are we? I love those words, house are we, in verse 6. See, Moses was the servant in the house. Jesus is the son over the house. Big difference. Moses was a member of the house. Jesus built the house. I ask you to listen to Acts 17, Acts 17, verse 24. If you'd like to turn there with me, welcome to do so. But Acts 17, verse 24 says this, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. Why? That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think. Not to think. Yes, not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. Why not? Why not think on this? Well, why not think? Because there's more than the gold, the silver, the stone, the building, the items, the things. Verse 24 says, God made the world and all things therein. To see him as Lord of heaven and earth. Why? Verse 25 is seeing that he giveth life, breath, all things. Give it to all life and all breath and all things. So what are we to do? Well, verse 27, seek this Lord, happily feel after Him, find Him. He's not far from every one of us. And in Him we live and move and have our being. He's available, and the confidence that can come out as a result of seeking after Him and happily feeling after Him and finding Him and searching Him, and He's not far from every one of us. And if this happens in Hebrews 3, it says this, verse 6, but Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Confidence in who Christ is. There's a confession of whose house we are. There's a confidence and confession, and with that, we're going to experience the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Don't you want to enjoy your spiritual journey? I do. Don't you want to happily feel after Him? Don't you want to find Him? Don't you want to seek after Him day after day to see that He's not far from every one of us? Don't you want to be able to say you are firm unto the end? And be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I think the happiest people on earth should be Christians. And one of the ways to do this is to think on Jesus. And you're going to be hard-pressed, no matter the burden, no matter the discouragement, no matter the disheartening thing that's come to your life, no matter what anyone said, no matter what anyone's done, if you're really thinking on Jesus, to not have the joy and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. David, who did he encourage himself in? The Lord. Please listen, Jesus Christ is son over His house, and He will care for each family member of the family. He's the faithful high priest, and He will provide the grace that you and I need for each circumstance, each burden, each demand, each struggle for our life. How do I know this? Well, the end of the book, Hebrews 13, of this book, Hebrews, and verse 20 says this. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Thank God He's our apostle. Thank God the high priest. Thank God He's the master builder. And so I share this with you, dear church, in verse 20 of Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And amen to this. Because if we consider Christ tonight, tomorrow, this week, a conscious effort, really putting our mind on this matter of thinking on Jesus, we're going to, I believe, think and see that He's above all others as an apostle. He's above all others as a high priest. He's above all others as a master builder. Matter of fact, He's a planner. He's the architect of our life. And what Jesus wants is for us to think on Him. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine risking your life to save someone? And that person not even thinking about you, not even thanking you, not even taking the time to think on you and how you saved their life. Jesus saved your life. Let's think on Him. I don't believe that's too much to ask. Jesus gave His life for you and I. We can think on Him. Let's give Him the real estate in our minds, in our hearts, in our hands, in our feet, in our worship, in our praise. Let's think on Jesus. This is something we all can do. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you can't start thinking on Jesus until you take Jesus. And you must take Him into your heart and into your life, and I hope you'll trust Him tonight. Tonight's a great night to start that, the greatest day of your life. And the greatest thing that can take place in your life is to start that foundation with Jesus. And no other foundation can be laid than Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Lord God, I do thank You for the opportunity that we can think on Jesus and be reminded of this. It's been a simple truth from a simple preacher. And Lord, I just pray that what You've showed me, that this will be a help to someone tonight in some way or another. Lord, I pray it's been conveyed in such a way that it's encouragement and exhortation and a help. Lord, I pray for anyone tonight that does not know You, that they'd come to know You as their personal Savior. Anyone maybe struggling Lord, in their thought life and the way that they think, and bringing captivity into their thoughts and our minds. So many distractions upon us in this world today. I pray that we'll get back to just thinking on you. Take the time, make the effort to stop everything else. Put our mind on you, Jesus, I pray. We ask this in your name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.